James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Fertz, entitled Remember Me.
First reading is taken from Lamentation, chapter 1, starting that book.
How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate, her priests groan, her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe. From daughter Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembers in the days of her affliction and wandering all the precious things that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the foe and there was no one to help her, the foe looked on mocking over her downfall. Jerusalem sinned grievously, so she has become a mockery. All who honoured her despise her. For they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. She took no thought of her future. Her downfall was appalling, with none to comfort her. O Lord, look at my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. Enemies have stretched out their hands over all her precious things. She has even seen the nations invade her sanctuary, those whom you forbade to enter your congregation. All her people groan as they search for bread. They trade their treasures for food to revive their strength. Look, O Lord, and see how worthless I have become. Is it nothing to you, all who pass by? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, New Testament is taken from Luke chapter 22.
Luke 22, verses 1 to 23. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sanctified. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, When you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there. So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God arrives. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this.
Thank you so very much, Joycey. So we started Holy Week yesterday with the celebration of Palm Sunday, great festival in the church calendar, a great time to also often in church have an all-age services with children as we wave palm branches and sing some of celebration. And yet Palm Sunday also is pointing to a reality that we all have the potential to be joyful and celebrate, even praise the Lord. And then within a few days, turn around and be in a very different place with a different attitude. And Holy Week has that feeling from a place where the people of Jerusalem were welcoming their new king. That was the kind of whole purpose of shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was like a key sentence in their story that they were told from generation to generation, which one day a descendant from the good king, David, would come to be the deliverer, the Messiah. And so they were proclaiming and singing those realities as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. So how in a matter of just a few days, things turn from that to what we will hear on Good Friday, when the leaders find a way to prompt the whole crowd to shout to crucify Jesus and to free a criminal. Not going to say too much about that because that's later in the week. But thinking of the first reading and that kind of lamentation, that kind of sad song on a city, Jerusalem, who had been devastated by an exile, the coming of a nations who conquered Jerusalem, destroyed, took all the things that were in the temple, destroyed the temple, and took the people from Jerusalem and from Judah into exile, and how that city was in ruin after that, and make me think of some of the cities today. We might have seen pictures of what's happening in Haiti. And of course, we often hear of bombings in Ukraine, so other places around the world, cities that are suffering heavily. And of course, here is again Jerusalem, a city that Jesus would say, how often I have desired to gather, with using a picture of a chick and their mum together, those little chick under my wings. And what will happen there is that Jesus will die, but it will brought great consequences of that city, consequences that will be fully formed in 70 AD, when again the city will be under siege, a siege that they've never seen before with the Romans. And yet within all that, Jesus being celebrated, but Jesus already knowing what really that week was all about. It was about giving his life. He had prepared a meal for his friend. And I don't know how you are, but if I am under stress, I find it difficult to think about other people. Usually when we are under stress, we start being self-centered. Sometimes it's important to look after one's well-being, but often we can also be so self-centered that we can't think of anything else. Yet Jesus, under tremendous stress, the reality that he was going to suffer, had already prepared a room. I find it quite extraordinary in this passage. He says, you know, go to the city, you will see that person, ask these questions. And so Jesus must have had made plan. We don't know how long in advance, a month, 2 months, but he must have had approached people. He must have had conversation before, saying, you know, when the Passover happens, I want this place, I want this room. And that was already set. And then also later, he says, when they were around the table, I've longed for this time. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He was looking forward to spend those last days, those last time with his close friends, to teach them kind of the final teaching, which was not a new teaching. We have it in John, who goes very slowly through that week with all the things that Jesus wants to help his followers to remember. And here it teaches something to do that we still do 2,000 years after, which is taking a cup, breaking the bread, and reminding ourselves that the bread is the body which is given, broken, crucified. The wine represents the blood, which is a sign of life. And so as we go week by week commemorating and sharing communion, we remind ourselves of the sacrifice, that one place where God deals once for all with sin and with death, where we can find peace and hope. And so this week, I do hope we'll find ways to share something of that hope, something of God's peace that God so desires to give to his people, for those who are willing to share with Jesus time and fellowship, and to learn to live his kind of life. So let's pray at the start of this Holy Week for ourselves, for those we will be in contact throughout the week, for the various services that we offer at St. James, but also around the town, that people will find ways to invite or to prompt conversations. Let's pray today for a service of Easter at St. James School, especially in light of the death of one of their teachers just not even 2 weeks ago. And let's continue to pray for the world and its needs, especially those cities that are at the moment in tears that are devastated by war or conflict or poverty. Heavenly Father, we started this morning prayer with a psalm that speaks of those who are poor and rejected, and that you are not far from them. And there are many cities around the world who today are suffering greatly, some because of poverty, because of poor harvests or conflicts. We think of other cities that are directly under bombing and under threat. And we think of people who are not even cities, people who are living in tents in Gaza and Palestine. Many among them, families with children who are caught up in the greed of terrorist actions. And Lord, we cry out, we pray that somehow your peace will return. You are Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.